This is kind of wild. I'm starting on completely left field, but
That's
when I
where
sent
you
you
need
that
to start,
invite,
bro.
that's a fact. When I sent that invite, did it come through as Moon Cricket?
Wow.
Because I sent it
Wow.
like a different way than I usually send it through Zencastr, and it like said type the person's name and then add their email.
Nah, nigga, it just said Beware the L's episode 48. God damn.
That's wild. But that led me to thinking, right? We are a very inclusive podcast, but one thing we
The
haven't
most
done
inclusive podcast, actually.
in the history of podcasts, one thing we haven't done is we haven't really given white people their credit. It's not for everything. Like they do all right sometimes. But the white people who invented slurs for black people were in their fucking bag, my nigga.
Yo, full disclosure, this one of them things that we discuss a lot off air when we just be kicking it, which goddamn nigga, when running out of time, ain't we? AD, Mr. Moneybags.
Talk to the bank.
Oh my goodness. Shit. I got all type of trips and shit planned, nigga. Y'all, I gotta pencil y'all niggas in now. Shit. But yes, Adrian, if you're listening, which I don't know if you will because I don't know, this is too poor for your ears. Make this shit happen, nigga. All right. It's been 2 whole years. It's been 2 years, actually more like 2.5, since my legs have blessed XO. We ain't waiting no more.
I can't even remember what it feels like in there. And I was on the
Man.
floor in there.
Dead ass. Like this nigga was on his back. Like a turtle that gets flipped over. My nigga was on his back
Was
in the
all
drug
bad.
dealer section.
For sure.
but nah, bro, like, yeah, I'm not gonna lie. It'd be some slurs that I'd be using. But which is the this is the perfect kickoff to a Juneteenth discussion, but it definitely be some slurs that I be using against y'all when y'all deserve it. And yeah, it's some fire ones, no cap, no
That's
hat.
when it was real deep in a duffel when it came time to slander another group of human beings. But this is episode 48. We had a little about a month off, you know what I'm saying? Give y'all a chance to breathe, take our foot off y'all niggas' necks for
You
once.
feel me? Doing some reconfiguring, trying to bring this podcast to you in new and exciting forms and shit.
To the
Look
moon.
out for us to the fucking moon. Look
Go
out
to the
for us on
moon.
the Oculus Rift. You feel me?
Ooh.
Yeah, look out for us exclusively for the Google Stadia console. You
Yup.
feel me?
We're
Making
streaming
all type of
live.
plays. The Beware the L's Tamagotchi.
Ooh,
It's all coming.
I forgot that deal we signed up. So we're streaming live to BET or to ESPN mobile phones. If you still have one of those, you'll get us live and indirect. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. So yeah, we just yeah, doing some reconfiguring because kind of thinking of a master plan and shit. Trying to take this pod to the next level. We've been doing it for some years, and we just want to make sure that this beautiful, strong, deep podcast pipe is getting delivered to who needs it. You feel me?
That's a freaking fact.
You don't want to waste it. You feel me? You only get so many good years of podcast pipe. So,
Who are you telling, dog? I'm saying you got it. That's what they say. It's Steve Carell asked it, not and it's true. Is it true? If you don't use it, you'll lose it. So we trying to use all this podcast girth while we got it. You feel me?
But yes, sir. Welcome back, ladies and gents. Welcome back to Beware the L's. This is episode 48. You remember that song? I think we was in school. It was like Juelz, Flocka, and Jim Jones. 8:48. You remember that shit?
Sure don't.
Okay. Well, that's the DJ in me that spent way too much time on hiphopearly.com. But it had three flames next to it.
Don't
But
tell me flies. You know that was a deep. You scrolled to page four for that. No one ever goes that far.
page five, you gotta scroll to page four in some situations.
Hey.
you feel me? So but thank you guys. Happy to be back once again. As we mentioned, Beware the L's podcast, episode number 48. Your esteemed host back at it again. Your boys at Uptown Ace Boogie. at Ain't That Wes, both halves of the Wayne Wonder Twins, one half of the Peer Pressure group chat, more like two thirds, but I guess Adrian is an honorary member, I suppose, he's at like this point.
This nigga's like a, it's like a
silent donor.
He's like a professor who's like a student advisor. Like they just they quote unquote watch over you, but they don't give a fuck about what's going on. You guys got to check with them every once in a while. That's basically his role. He's a sugar daddy.
And we is bike. And you know, it's the world's a fucked up place. You know, Wes has specifically stated on, it seems like damn near every single one of our pods, that we should not have faith in people. We should not have faith in humanity. You kind of just, you know, do your own little 1-2 kind of Philly shell to the bullshit. And if something good happens, then that is not the norm. We need to be expecting Ragnarok more than we need to be expecting salvation at this point. And you know, that kind of brings us to our first topic of discussion, which, you know, us being once again the most diverse and inclusive podcast of all time, which is saying a lot, because there's a lot of podcasts out there. You feel me? So
literally podcasts starting up every day.
So to know that we are the most diverse, the most inclusive, the most, I just lost my train of thought. Sorry, that's the Milagro kicking in. But to know that we are the most, I would say, I guess the best people in the history of podcasting. We morally and virtuously, we are the best to have ever lived, and we love our people and other people of all different type of races and genders and sexual orientations more than anybody else has ever loved anybody. You know, that's a huge honor, and we humbly accept it.
I see. Maybe you might be being a little humble there and calling us the greatest humans ever. But no, we definitely have family members, friends, listeners, supporters of all varieties of, along the gender spectrum, along the race spectrum. You know what I'm saying? We fuck with everybody. As long as you fuck with us, show respect. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna fuck with you right back. You dig?
Big facts. At our core, you know, when it comes down to it, when we strip down to our essence and our bare fucking bones, we are niggas.
One thing you gotta know
about
I'm
me.
I'm gonna be a nigga for life.
I'm gonna be a nigga for life. RIP DMX and Cisco. I hope that RIP is nowhere in the near future.
Talk about a sad, sad day for me.
Oh, wow, Jesus. But we are black, and our blackness, intrinsically, our blackness affects every aspect of our lives, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, and it affects every perception of us. In the world subconsciously or consciously. And recently, last week, you know, it's our time of the year. Came back through. Good old Juneteenth. And I remember talking about it on a pod last summer where we talked about, you know, just making sure. Because I honestly, bro, like last Juneteenth was the first one that I remember being talked about in mass. Not that people didn't know what Juneteenth was, because, you know, I think most of us were aware. But I think that's the first year that people were really like, hey, we about to show the fuck out. We about to truly treat Juneteenth how the whites treat July 4th. And it was tough. You couldn't fully do it because of the pandemic. So this year, you know, we was getting all ready. We was getting our pandemic fits ready. You feel me? Our Coogi polos accented with cicadas. We was all ready, had all the bottles lined up, you feel me, and this was supposed to be our first, you know, real, I guess, mass Juneteenth celebration in the social media era. But then the week of came, so as June 19th approached, you started seeing some little rumblings, you know, that Congress was in session trying to get Juneteenth added as an official federal holiday. And I didn't think really anything of it at first, because, you know, it just seemed like some more, you know, congressional bullshit. Didn't really matter, didn't mean anything. I didn't, honestly, at first, I didn't even think it was going to pass. Yeah. And then you see that it ends up passing unanimously. And it was, it literally passed on Wednesday. Your president, Joe Biden, passed it into, or signed it into official law on Thursday, and it became a holiday on Friday. Never seen nothing like that in my life. There's only 12 federal holidays. So yeah, not only for that to happen, but to happen that quickly, that's wild.
I was going to say, yeah, this was the first one added since they added Martin Luther King Day back in, I think, like the 80s.
Shit, they ain't even want to do that.
You talk about resistance, nigga. For a nigga that was just trying to make everybody, like, be cool.
That's wild, it.
Wild thing. But, like, yeah, this was it was interesting to see. Like, I was kind of on the same page as you looking towards Congress because we've seen this White House, this administration kind of make some promises and then not live up to some of them promises.
Ooh, yeah.
So this was something I thought was going to be kind of similar. But in the end, Juneteenth is now a national federal holiday, which I did not get to use, but I will get as a floating holiday, which I'm probably going to use one day soon.
Oh, you get it as a float. Lucky you.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even get that.
They call me the non-swimming holiday. But nah, just the fact that, like, Juneteenth, like you said, last year was kind of a more of a national groundswell of in the conversation. But this year is, like, almost turned into a completely different thing, and I think moving forward it's going to be a recognized holiday. I think people are going to – hopefully people are going to start to – who aren't aware of it are going to start to kind of try to get themselves more informed about the holiday and get more in tune and more in touch with the Black culture, the Black experience. And that can in my heart of hearts, I know it's not going to help anything. But in my altruistic – Let's think about the glass half full way. Hopefully that can kind of spread some unity, empathy, and understanding towards our struggle and our plight.
Yeah, I was about to say, normally I play the good cop. Normally I play Carver and you play Herc. But it looks like it switched around this time.
I'm not Herc. I'm the one nigga. The white other white cop.
Dozerman?
Yup. No. Dozerman shot. The evil You know what I'm talking about.
The black dude?
Not the black. You know the racist looking white cop? There's only one like racist ass looking white cop on the show.
I thought it was Dozerman, but
Dozerman got shot.
Yeah. I don't know.
Let me send you a picture. Once you know exactly who I'm talking about.
The nigga with the fucked up haircut, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that's who that was. Maybe
he's got a white ass name, something like Chizinski or Lenny Dykstra. I don't know.
But, Lenny Dykstra.
Yeah, so like Juneteenth as a whole, though, real quick. Like,
yeah,
you know about like Juneteenth kind of coming up as a kid? Or like, when did you start knowing about Juneteenth?
So my my mom was a teacher, and she was also a freedom fighter. Like back in the day, mom's big ass Angela Davis afro. You know, on the campus of BG back in the day, back in the '70s, leading the charge. She actually founded a bunch of, black organizations, at BG and was truly, truly a part of the movement. And she's the one that inspired my militant attitude. So, you know, just growing up, you know, that was something that obviously she always stressed and always knew about. But the thing was, I don't think that it wasn't until college, I guess, where I don't think I had the opportunity to see how much other people were aware and to see like is widespread, you know, I guess, knowledge base or whatever. Because, you know, like coming up, you know, you in different types of schools, sometimes you in black schools, sometimes you in mixed schools, whatever. And like, it's just not, it's nothing that ever comes up. You know, it ain't in no, the McGraw textbooks, of course not. The Bannon critical race theory. It ain't in none of that shit. You know, your teachers ain't talking about it, maybe unless you were lucky enough to have a black history teacher or a black English teacher. So, yeah, it wasn't until school where I was like, all right, I know about this. Does everybody else know? And some people did, but a lot of people didn't. A lot of people didn't.
Word. Yeah, that's so, like my experience. Like, I was younger, and I'm pretty sure this is, if I'm remembering correctly, I think my grandmother took me to a Juneteenth event, me and my sister, and Ben Carson was speaking. which is wild to look back in retrospect. I'm pretty sure it was a Juneteenth event.
Ben so like Bossing.
Yeah, and it was wild to see him just kind of. Actually, I guess I don't even know if he really switched teams or if he was always rocking. We just didn't know. We turned a blind eye to the gifted hands.
But Popeye's God.
At the Popeye's establishment. But yeah, so then like in high school, they didn't really teach in high school, but I took like an AP US history course, so I kind of learned about it then, like further, and I was like, okay, this is interesting to hear. But like some of the homies who like took like regular classes didn't really learn about it through there. And then like I said, like similar to you, like I took to college and then I like was fully kind of learned about it to the fullest extent. But mm-hmm. I went to a private school. It was like about as white as the Dallas Mavericks, and we like it didn't really truly learn about it until like college, which is a wild thing to hear. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I went to private school as well. I mean, it was, you know, one of the blackest private schools in all of Cleveland. Shout out to Chanel, RIP. especially by the end. But yeah, no, like saying, like, it's, you know, we got this, this sterilized, you know, white curriculum, and we want to learn about none of that shit. It was not mentioned, that did not follow, the Catholic code. So we definitely, none of that, nothing, you know, I think one of our teachers, the legend, Mr. Coleman, black dude, talked to us about it a couple of times, but couldn't cover it, you know, per se, because it wasn't in the textbooks and it wasn't officially a part of the curriculum. But, you know, it when you think about it, though, just like the optics of it or the logistics of it, like the fact that I spent so many years of my life like kicking it on the 4th of July, like as if I was would have actually been free then, it actually makes me mad. You feel me? Like all the years as a kid where you spend going to events and, you know, fireworks this and fireworks that, ain't nothing wrong with fireworks, but like, you know, wearing like American flag fucking like swimming trunks and doing all this different shit and, you know, doing all these 4th of July activities like in school or in summer camps or whatever, and you're like, bruh, my ass was in shackles. Shackles. You feel me? So, you feel me? And, you know, Juneteenth is, like, an event that is, I feel like, is a microcosm of Black history in America. Because even what is a joyous event, it's a joyous event that happened 2 years too late. You know, like...
That's crazy, man.
You like, feel me?
You at your job, right? And the CEO sent a letter saying, you know what, everybody, thank you for your service here. We're going to give you, you know, you don't have to work here anymore, but we're going to give you a pension. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to do anything. You just got to fill out a form and you got to, you get a pension for the rest of your life. And imagine your manager and every single month, the CEO sends a fax saying that same shit. Your manager takes the fax and throws it in the shredder.
Yeah.
2 years later, your manager's like, you know what? The CEO says something about y'all getting a little pension or whatever, but fax here. It's post-dated for 2 years ago, but don't worry about that.
Exactly. And the fact that, again, is that obviously the power structure incredibly imbalanced when you're talking about slaves and non-slaves, slaves and the free folk. As Jon Snow would say, but it's you know, the fact that, you know, they were able to keep that, they were able to keep that under wraps, you know, for that length of time, you know, even in a pre technological age. Say,
to be fair, nigga, it was niggas ain't have any type of technology. Niggas had carrier pigeons and hand delivery still.
Yeah, but it speaks to, you know, an issue that we still have today, which is, you know, white people, particularly white males, controlling the narrative. And we see it everywhere. We see it in politics. We see it in the justice system. We see it in the media. And we still don't have, you know, 250 years later, 270 years later, we don't have a big enough piece of the pie. you feel me, to really be able to control our own narratives. I mean, yes, we have black news networks and, you know, and all these other type things, but to be able to have enough influence to turn public opinion, oh, we ain't nowhere near that. Yeah. If somebody put something out there in the media and said that, you know, all black people were zombies, and we're going to eat your children, then, nigga, we would be, it would be World War Z. You feel me? Just because that's just, that's just what it is. So, you know, that's, you know, obviously that's the drawback of a holiday like Juneteenth, but that does not take away from the significance. That does not take away from, you know, the fact that this is our Freedom Day. This is our 4th of July. However,
exactly. Yeah, like I was going to say real soon, the reason why I kind of asked you kind of, as you mm-hmm. learned about it kind of coming up was mm-hmm. now I think it's good that this has become, like I said, part of the national kind of conversation. And there is such a popular discourse about it going on social media now. So the kids who at my age back then didn't really know about it are learning about mm-hmm. it now. So they can be more informed as they get older. And Juneteenth, I think it's going to become, I don't know if it's going to be like a huge, huge type of deal, but it's going to be way more than we've ever seen it.
See, that's actually what I'm worried about. So I have very mixed feelings.
Are you worried about it? Niggas throwing on, white people throwing on throwbacks and fake effort.
Yeah, bro. Like, I mean, I got very mixed feelings about it becoming a holiday. Actually, it ain't even mixed. I'm not super happy about it for a couple of reasons. Exactly that. You know, and I think the main holiday we have to look at to compare it to Cinco de Mayo. Cinco de Mayo, a day where Mexico gained independence from Spain. The most significant day in the history of Mexico. Now, what nigga, like, white people co-opted, and it's just another kick a day to eat fucking tacos and throw on sombreros and say, ay, 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 like LeBron on Taco Tuesday.
Huh?
So, it has been completely reduced, and I mean completely reduced to a joke. It it is a joke. There is absolutely no historical significance whatsoever in Cinco de Mayo, and I worry about Juneteenth being co-opted, you know, seeing the Juneteenth fits popping up on jcpenney.com, people deciding to eat watermelon and fried chicken and go on Juneteenth bar crawls. Like, I don't want it, bruh, but I feel like it's inevitable.
I don't want it, but it might be fire, though. I'm talking about, but you hit the cookout first, you know what I'm saying? Get the chicken and potato salad, you know what I mean? Then you bar crawl street, Henny bar crawl? Like, nah, like, I hear what you're saying, like, to the point that even Cinco de Mayo is not even Mexican Independence Day. It's been co-opted to the point that it's the meaning is even of the actual day. Is
you got me. Yeah, what is it then?
Mexican Independence Day is in September. But it's the 5th. I think it's like a big battle victory or something.
Ah, okay. Well, shit. See? Yeah. See, well, I've been brainwashed by the masses.
Thanks, wow. Ofe. But yeah, no, I can definitely see that the fear that it could turn into something like that. But I mean, yeah, I mean, we're always going to have dickheads doing dickhead shit. But sure. I think hopefully that people. Just the fact that it's a national holiday, people are going to get off work and kids. Like, I'm more focused kind of on the kids, next generation coming up. And I'm like, hey, yeah. why am I off school today, or why am I off work today? And then they start learning the history, and hopefully that starts sparks a change. But at least we, our struggle again is being recognized on a national and federal level.
Yes, but that brings up my second point of disapproval, which is the fact that. You know, you mentioned people getting off, like, so literally, bro, like Thursday, it becomes a holiday. Friday, all federal and most state offices and a lot of private jobs were closed as well. And it's like, there are white people who fucking hate us, can't stand us, don't want us to be free, would rather us, we still be slaves, and they get to have this day off. To chill, to relax, and to build themselves up. And that bothers me. But I think the biggest thing, more than anything, bro, is just that this is, as our good friend Mia called, performative bullshit. This is a commemorative holiday. This is a ceremonial holiday with no real significance to it, in that it's significant to us, obviously, but like, we can't get an anti-lynching bill passed. You know what I'm saying? We can't get, we can't protect ourselves and our voting rights. We can't get any legislation passed for that. The anti-Asian hate law passed almost unanimously a few weeks after, you know, all these different you know, anti-Asian events started, hate crime started occurring. And that's great. But for us, it's like, okay, we need this. We need civil rights shit. We need voting shit. You know what I'm saying? And you give us some ceremonial garbage that doesn't mean anything. We need equity. You know, we need a expansion of homeowner and renter's protection. We need all of the, we need anti-bank discrimination stuff. And we can't get any of this shit passed, but this passes unanimously, literally in less than a week. And now it's going to be here, niggas, here you go. And we're supposed to be happy with it. Just like back then, we were supposed to be happy. Oh, gosh, well, you should be happy that you're not slaves. You mean you want to be full humans? Oh, gosh, well, I guess you're kind of sort of a full human. You want to sit at the same lunch counter? Oh, gosh, we let you sometimes sit at the same lunch counter or be in the same restaurant. Now you want to be able to vote without being hassled? And that's the continued struggle.
I feel that 100%. Like, I'm not saying this is complete legacy performer. This is essentially like a placeholder. It's like, you know what, y'all making such an uproar. All right, here you go. Fuck, take this little holiday. You know what I'm saying? And do with it what you will. Hopefully, this isn't the end of kind of pro-black legislation that comes forward. But if you think that the white people are going to treat this like, oh, I don't even like niggas, but I'm taking this day off. How you think I look at Columbus Day, nigga? How you think I look at President's Day? I don't give a fuck about none of these holidays, nigga. I just want a day off of work. Fair. So the same way some people are going to view Juneteenth as just a day off of work, fuck the holiday, that's how I'm viewing most of these holidays anyway. You feel me? So
I feel you.
Like, fuck July, like you said, we were slaves the 4th of July. I don't give a fuck about 4th of July, nigga.
I feel you. I just, you know, it's... We talk about all the time on the pod. We always talk about the continued fight for progress within our community. And,
for sure.
You know, this is, I think people would, white people or people of other races may consider this a win for us on some level, but it's not. It's not. This is not a win. This really is not a victory of any kind. I won't say it's not a victory of any kind, but it's not anything that is going to have some positive effect on us or our kids, maybe on our kids' kids, you know, but like it is something, but it's not what we need. It's not something that will actually help balance out the power structure. It's just something that we are being given to, quote unquote, make us shut up. But we ain't never gonna shut up because we niggas. And if you've never sat in a movie theater with us or been to a graduation ceremony in which our kids have graduated, you would know we don't shut the fuck up. We ain't never gonna shut up.
Shit. And we paid for microphones. You think I'm not getting the most out of this fucking microphone? That whole ass podcast. I ain't never shutting up. Go ahead, bro.
Facts. But, you know, something else that we'll never shut the fuck up about is the NBA. It's playoff basketball. I can feel my ring coming. It's been a wild playoffs. And I feel like we needed a wild playoffs, like coming off, you know, that Mickey Mouse ring that y'all won last year.
You mean Disney number one company in the world type shit ring? Yeah, that type.
Coming off the disappointments and anti-climax, nigga, we supposed to be serving podcast pipe. not anti-climax. But
it was very climactic for me. I finished over.
Coming off the anti-climax of the Lakers championship last season, it's really nice to see some wild, topsy-turvy, anything can go playoffs. And this is exactly what we discussed. This is exactly what we talked about at the start of the season when we talked about basically the quote unquote, the super teams being broken up, well, except for one. The super teams broken up and it going back to being a duos league. And the best thing about a dynamic duos league is there's less centralized power, so there's more room for different types of teams, you know, if they make the right moves and the right coaching decisions and whatnot, to make an unexpected come up. When you got three all-stars or three superstars on one team, you kind of know how it's going to go. But this has been completely different, and it's been different because of, you know, just some new teams making some come ups, but also a lot of fucking injuries.
Listen, this has not been fun for me. So since we last recorded,
yeah,
I don't remember if the playoffs had started or not.
I don't think so.
So yeah, as of our last recording, you know what I'm saying, the playoffs have begun, and right now we are in the conference finals of both conferences. Mm-hmm. Right now in the West, we have the Clippers and the Suns, and in the East, we have the Hawks and the Bucks, which I'm watching right now in the background.
Wow. So we have 3 versus 5 and 2 versus
4. Yeah. So
that's crazy.
Your ones and twos, for the most part, are out of here. You know what I'm saying? If you asked someone to predict the conference finals before the season, I'm sure no one had this fucking final four teams left.
Not at all. Maybe
the Clippers would probably be the only one I would have thought. For sure, Clippers, maybe Bucks, maybe, but
I wouldn't even pick them.
It's crazy to see, man. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just gonna kick it off. You know what I'm saying? As you guys know, or well, actually, no. Let me ask you first. So, what did you think about the Cavs playoff run that they had this year?
I feel like, you know, we made some strides. You know, we had a team. You know, we had four people make the all-rookie team, which is first time that's done in NBA history. You know, Biggs Jonas Elgauskas, you know, he's got a bright future ahead of him. Our jerseys is pretty lit.
Did I not say this season? I am sipping a little tequila, but I think I recall saying, what did the Cavs do in this year's playoffs?
I'm a time traveler from the year 97-98. But
this nigga's friends with Brad Doherty.
Kobe Altman has driven this team into the fucking ground. Like, this time a year ago, I was so hopeful about where the Cavs was going. We was really making some plays to push us forward, and this motherfucker did everything in his power to sabotage that. Now we're trying to slowly pick up the pieces, but we're still stuck with Kevin Love, and we don't have Kevin Porter Jr.
Team USA, Kevin Love, STU.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, correct. This nigga played 3 games this season, but he gonna show up so he can pull up into the Olympic Village and fuck some girls raw.
Yeah, man. Like, he's gonna play more Olympic games than he did NBA games this season. That's crazy.
That's wild. But
I saw him at a NCAA tournament game. Real nigga.
Yeah, you should have slapped him beside his fucking head. still third pick. We get Jalen Green. We'll be back in business. So
I don't know what business you're speaking of, but
okay.
This is Pro Lakers podcast, as you know. So my Lakers, we stumbled into the back half of the season.
Stumbled?
Yeah, my dog Anthony Davis, he of Ruffles commercials, missed half the season. The league couldn't stand for my nigga LeBron to just keep being that nigga, so they sent Solomon Hill to take his ankle out. He missed, 20-plus games. So we weren't exactly healthy coming back in the end of the season, and we ended up losing in the first round to the Phoenix Suns. It hurt. I thought my team would be able to kind of overcome injuries and bad play down the stretch, and you, we would be able to.
You expected KCP to overcome that.
KCP the realest nigga in the world, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. His name is Kentavious, first off. Real nigga shit. It's got a hyphenated last name. It means he kind of went through things, or his mother's a straight-up, stand-up individual woman who will not give up her last name.
Nah, bro. Y'all niggas focus on the wrong things. Blunt man, yeah, that's me. Alex Caruso.
Free AC. I'm screaming that shit till it's backwards, my nigga. They trying to say, hey, I'm saying they see a nigga shining. Pardon me. They see a white bull shining. You know what I'm saying? Well, we're trying to take him down. The man is a motherfucker.
Man. Free Alex Caruso. Free Britney. Free Britney Spears.
Yep. One and the same.
But that shit's fucked up, bro. Like, have you followed that whole shit with her conservatorship?
Not completely, but I know that she's been fighting for that for a long time. I remember like last year this time when it was when she was doing like TikToks or whatever, and like they were saying she was like putting out
leaving little, secret clues, yeah, and shit.
Putting little signs for
her. Bro. It's bad. Like she was like today, I guess this was like one of the like her the first big court hearing in which she spoke at about it, and she was saying like, yeah, like obviously they're in complete control of my life. Like I have an IUD in that they won't allow me to take out. Like, I can't get this IUD taken out of my body without permission. Like, wild shit, bro.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Blue slurp. I mean, that's wild. But, nah, free Britney, you know what I'm saying? Because salute to my sister. I don't really like my sister, but salute to my sister for putting me on the Britney back in the day. Because I know all Britney early shit, you know what I'm saying?
Bangers.
That's my girl. Hit after hit after hit. But, you know what I'm saying, some Lakers got to the playoffs, you know what I'm saying, lost in the first round. We were a lot of people's kind of pick to at least get to the Western Conference Finals, if not the Finals, you feel me? But outside of us, it's been a pretty exciting playoff. You know what I'm saying? We've seen Luka go crazy against the Clippers. We've seen Kawhi go crazy against Luka and them. We've seen the Suns go on a fucking rampage.
Devin Booker, bro. Who will be mentioned later on in this pod has taken his game to. I mean, he played tremendously last year down the stretch and in the bubble, but he has truly become one of, you know, the top, you know, 10 to 15 players in this league, and you gotta appreciate it.
A little high, but
he ain't 10 to 15.
Not 10, maybe 15. But
all right, when he gets that ship, see if you say the same thing.
I will say the exact same thing. we've seen the number one team with the number one record in the whole NBA, the Utah Jazz, 3 All-Stars, Defensive Player of the Year.
Rudy Gobert is the most, and I said in the group chat, he is the most mid nigga to ever won multiple NBA awards. Any of them, don't matter. Six-man, MVP, most improved. To have multiple awards, much less 3, I've never seen a Defensive Player of the Year get targeted as much as he does. Niggas be yamming on him like crazy.
Yeah, Rudy's cool. You know what I mean, just Rudy's been hyped up too much. Like I think he's a good player.
He ain't no 3-time Defensive Player of the Year. He ain't prime Dwight Howard.
Yeah. Oh boy, I almost went super problematic. Yeah, no, I'm saying.
Oh boy.
Yeah, no, I had to stop myself. But yeah, we saw them get bounced early to a team without Kawhi Leonard. It's been a very exciting. That's just in the West. In the East, you got the who's the one East? We got the one seed in the East end up losing.
Julius Randle turned into me at the wreck.
It was a stunk. That was really bad. It was
that
really
was bad.
Bad.
Yeah.
We've seen the big three in Brooklyn get hurt. You know what I'm saying? Not making
lost me some damn money.
Oh, you bet on them boys?
I hate losing money to JR. Yeah. Oh,
betting Dirty James. I'm about to say I won a redacted amount of money on a Nikola Jokic MVP bet that I placed 2 games into the season.
Oh yeah. I forgot you put that down.
Threw all that shit right in Bitcoin, and now I have lost nearly $200 on my winnings. It's ugly.
Oh, man. Listen, I say shit all the time, bro. The stock market is a scam. Not to say that you shouldn't, like, that you shouldn't invest in it, because obviously you have to, but like, that don't mean just the whole concept of the stock market is not a scam in and of itself.
Listen, when I tell you this secret,
it's literally, it's gambling.
Everything's a fucking scam. But nah,
man. I would lose my money on FanDuel, bro. Like, at least I got some control over that.
Lost my money there too. Nah, I was like, before I threw this big chunk into Bitcoin, I was already up in some other shit. But like, probably about like 2-3 weeks ago, everything just fucking started tanking crazy. Pardon me, insanely.
Yes, blame your boy Elon Musk.
That nigga Elon Musk is a motherfucker. But nah, this is one of the most exciting playoffs we've seen in the past few years. With teams kind of returning to their playing, we're playing in front of full crowds again. Teams are at home.
Yeah, playing in front of full crowds, getting popcorn thrown on them, spit on them, all that good shit.
Just America, you know what I'm saying? But this is kind of the most wide open finals we've had, or wide open kind of semifinals we've had in a couple years.
Yeah. So
who you had as your championship pick?
It can go either way, but it can go either way in the worst way. Because like, and you know, I was saying a couple weeks ago, it'll be nice to have a finals that doesn't include LeBron and or Steph Curry, not because they are not greatness, but just because, you know, it's time to start getting that next generation ready. They're not going to be around for forever. Well, LeBron might, but you know, he'll be a cyborg like fucking Frieza or some shit. So, but not having them niggas, bro, like, kind of reminds you of just how great and how clutch they fucking are, because this shit, these niggas, especially teams like Philly, have literally sat there and tried their hardest to throw series away. It's like, I don't want to win. You want to win? I don't want to win. Do you want to win? Like, and it's just like, all right, this is good and all, but like, bro, I don't want to see Jeff Teague get a ring. I'm not interested. I don't want to see Luke Kennard get a ring. I'm more worthy of getting a ring than Luke Kennard.
Ohio's thinks leading all time scorer. You rooting against the home team? That's ugly.
Is he?
He's like one or two. I know for a fact.
He passed up the Deebs.
I think he passed the Deebs. He's either like one or two. I'm pretty sure of it. Mm. But I don't know, Mike. Right now, it's we're in the. I think I missed the score, but we're like 20 seconds left.
Yeah,
the Hawks are up one.
I mean, I got Suns Bucks, but I don't mean I want to see it. You know,
we will have to see it. You know what I'm saying? I would have loved to see Lakers Wizards. You know what I'm saying, or something along those lines, where my Lakers can just cruise to another championship. But I'm kind of with you too. I think the Suns are looking strong, especially Clippers missing Kawhi, and the Bucks, I think, are just gonna be too much for the Hawks, because the Hawks aren't even like that. That's what's pissing me off.
That's what I'm saying. Damn, Trae Young, 46-11-6, and I think that's what's bothering me the most. Like, the Hawks got a bunch of okay niggas and Trae Young, who is a burgeoning superstar, but like, Trae Young didn't even make the All-Star team.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like, Trae Young didn't get no votes for nothing because niggas say he put up empty stats. Obviously, that's not the truth. But like, nigga, Clint Capella, like Gallinari, like, these are the niggas who have a strong opportunity to win a championship. Again, we mentioned Jeff Green. I don't know, Pat Connaughton. Like, this is disgusting. Yeah, this is disgusting.
Right now,
Cameron Payne,
Solomon Hill is playing crunch time minutes for the Hawks, which means they're extremely unserious. But Jesus Christ, Giannis, learn English. but yeah, this is it's interesting. You know what I'm saying, like, the effect that it's, like you said, spoke to, like, guys like LeBron and Steph aren't being in it, which kind of leads to more parity in the league, which we've seen. It's gonna be interesting to see. You know what I'm saying, I really have no vested interest in rooting for any of these teams. basketball.
And I guess that is what makes it fun, when you can just watch as a basketball fan. And I am excited to see that. I just, you know, I think that either way you slice it, yeah, you want variety. Variety is the spice of life.
See, I don't personally want variety. I want my team to win all the time. I don't give a fuck about anybody else's teams.
But, like, I mean, who wants to see the Bucks in the conference finals over the Nets? You know what I'm saying? Like, don't nobody want to see that. So, it's, I don't know. It's we're going to have something new, and I guess we need to embrace something new. But that's not how I was raised. I was raised to resist change. So,
I'm not a big fan of change. I heard you speak out against Juneteenth. but we'll see what happens. You feel me? It's going to be interesting one way or another. And niggas is going to watch.
So, you know, it is, I will say overall, this is a celebration of basketball, you know, not a celebration necessarily of individual players like we normally have. It's a celebration of team, of the team aspect, of just a love of the game. The other celebration that's going on this month is gay shit. Happy Pride Month. First and foremost, from your big brothers at the most diverse, inclusive podcast of all time, Beware the Ills. And, you know, Pride Month
said, be gay, do crimes. You feel me?
Be gay, do crimes. And it's obviously extremely significant. And it's another celebration. It's another time that in recent years has become, I would say over the last 5 to 6 years, has become bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And you love to see it. You love to see people, you know, open and living their truths and being happy and being comfortable outwardly and not feeling like they need to hide anything from anybody and not feeling like they need to, you know, kind of shelve this portion of themselves in order to avoid persecution. And it's something that, despite what you may see on the interwebs, it is important. And it is important when somebody like Carl Nassib comes out of the closet. And that's the thing that I really want to hit on discussing Pride Month, because when Carl Nassib came out, ex-Brown, ex-star of Hard Knocks, Carl Nassib became the first active player in NFL history to come out of the closet. And the thing that I really enjoy is he is good enough of a player to the point where I don't believe that he can be blackballed. And if he is blackballed, then it would be blatantly obvious, a la Colin Kaepernick. But the thing is, the first thing you see under the comments, and I told myself not to look at the comments, but I was just curious about how ignorant niggas would be. And the first thing that you saw was, so, and, big deal, who cares? I don't have any problem with anybody being gay, but why do you feel the need to announce it? This was the common sentiment under every post. I saw your boy, Mr. Bankshot, posted some video that was reshared by Suede, the remix guy, which is pretty ironic considering how Suede looks. But
it's not a shame here.
He basically copied the Carl Nassib announcement video and was like, yeah, I just want to announce that I'm straight. You know, nobody asked me, but I felt the need to announce it. It's really not a big deal. And I swear I'm not looking for attention, but, you know, I just wanted to do it. And there were a good few people in the comments saying, yeah, you missed on this one. Yeah, this ain't it, bruh. Like, whatever, whatever. But then you see the same old homophobic ass people. And a lot of times black people, unfortunately, arguing it, saying, you know, those echoing those exact same sentiments. So I just want to say, the fact that you feel the need to comment on it and say it's not a big deal is what makes it a big deal. You know what I'm saying? If you saw a person come out of the closet and you saw it and was just like, and scroll right past it, then that would be the indifference that you're talking about. But the fact that you stopped and you decided that you felt the need to comment on that under the post to demean this person and to try to diminish the significance in a moment lets us know that you are pressed. You're pressed. Yeah. Period.
Salute to Carl Nassib for living his truth and being comfortable enough and prideful enough to kind of go do his thing out loud. But like, yeah, that's the I can understand kind of where niggas kind of come from, and that this shouldn't be a big deal. But the way that our society has kind of, not kind of, the way our society is kind of, I keep saying kind of, the way our society's gone about itself and kind of shunned gay people and people who think differently and look differently and live different, quote unquote, these different kind of lifestyles. This is a huge deal. You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. In the perfect world, like you said, there would be indifference. Okay, he's gay. Cool. She's straight. Wonderful. That's their business, because that's a big proponent of where I am. It's none of my business what you do in your spare time in your personal bedroom, but I want you to be the most comfortable you are, and I want you to feel proud about who you are, and I don't want you to have to kind of hide who you are, feel like you have to kind of limit your true self from being out there.
Yeah.
So for Carl Nassib, this is huge for him. This is huge for football. This is huge for gay people. This is huge for straight people. This is a big moment, and I'm glad that he felt comfortable enough and was strong enough and feels that he has a great support system behind him to, you know what I'm saying, go out and make this announcement.
Yeah, and let's not forget representation. We talk about representation all the time. And again, anytime you see, you know, gay characters on a TV show, there's always people in the comments saying, oh, it's okay to be gay, but why do you have to show it to us? Why do you have to force it on us? That is you saying that it's not okay. Like, you don't understand, like, how stupid and hypocritical this shit looks. Representation is important for all of these, not just, you know, I guess teens, but teens make up a large part of it. There's a lot of children that commit suicide because they can't deal with their sexualities, because they don't know how their parents will take it, or how their friends will take it, or how people who they're not cool with will take it. And they are scared for their lives, and they have to imagine living your life every single day and not living a lie, but living confined. Like, we always talk about how beautiful life is and how we need to appreciate it and how we need to, you know, and live it to the fullest and everything. But that is a very, very, very large that's a very large portion of the population that can't do that or feel like they can't do that. For as many, you know, openly gay people as, or, you know, openly gay, bi, queer people of any form that there are four more people who are in the closet. Right. And it's, and that's, again, that's what makes that moment matter. To know that for all those, you know, gay players that are in locker rooms, you know, peewee locker rooms, in high school locker rooms, in college locker rooms, to see a, you know, a semi-successful NFL player be able to come out and live his truth, that gives them the strength to keep going. And just as, you know, we as black people, we need representation. We need Simone Biles and Sha'Carri Richardson. Shout out to Sha'Carri Richardson. Jesus. As badly as we need those things, people, you know, the LGBTQ community needs those things too, especially that cross-sectionality of the black and queer community. So, yes, this shit fucking matters. And if you still need that explained to you, then you're probably a bigot. Yeah. You know, you're probably homophobic. And
there's a lot of people out there who don't really know that they're bigoted and are homophobic in ways, and it's sad. But I mean, honestly, even issues like Carl Nassib coming out are pushing conversations forward and making conversations that happen that otherwise probably wouldn't have happened. So, and like you said, representation matters, especially in underrepresented communities, like football. Football is considered, oh, some manly shit, da da da, but we know there have been gay players before. There are gay people in every every aspect of life, as the same as way there are straight people in every aspect of life. So this is something that's going to eventually help kind of push, like you said, those young kids who are feeling closeted or feeling that they can't truly be themselves, and also play team sports or do play basketball or play football, kind of live their truth while doing so. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, especially when it comes to sports, nigga, it just comes, it rolls down to, can you hoop or not? Can you ball or not?
Period.
And Carl Nassib, if he's going to go out and get these sacks, whether he's gay or not, he's going to go out and get these sacks.
Facts, man. And, you know, we not saying anything particularly profound or insightful, but the fact that these are things that still need to be echoed and things that still need to be overstated lets you know just how much progress we still have to make. And,
to put this in a circle real quick, I still remember the one time I came on The Real Is Back. Salute to The Real Is Back. That was damn near 10 years ago almost. Uh-huh. But we was talking about, I came on an episode where John Amici had just come out.
Oh, yeah. And we were talking about, you know, would sports ever accept an openly gay athlete? And I think our consensus was hell no. Nah. Or at least not in that moment, no. So, you know, that's, about 10 years later. Goddamn, 10 years later. That's, you know, this is the type of progress that we're looking for. And, you know, Carl Nassib's going to face an uphill fight. You know, let's understand that he is not operating with impunity. He is going to catch it, you know, from so many different groups and hateful sects of people. So, you know, he needs support. And, you know, anybody, you know, in your life who is openly, you know, queer in any type of way needs your support too. So let's not forget Pride Month. Being an ally is not just, you know, saying, you know what? I guess gay people ain't that bad. That's not being an ally. Ally is openly supporting and riding for not just the people that you care about, but people you don't even know. So, you know, keep that shit in mind. Also, quick side point. Megan Thee Stallion. I'm gonna bring up Megan Thee Stallion real quick. So she had a situation this past week where the baby dropped a song with Tory Lanez. This song has been rumored for going back, you know, since right around the time of the Megan Tory incident. And when asked about it, Meg said no. Like, I talked to the baby about it, and this is an old song. It's not cleared. It's never coming out. Well, it came out. And it not only came out, it was a whole ass video for it. And Meg, she rightfully kind of let her feelings out about that. And the baby being the baby, she went on Twitter just being ignorant as fuck. This is why niggas really don't fuck with him like that no more. But, you know, and it basically what it came down to is, again, people not riding for or respecting black women. And again, the baby can work with whomever he wants to work with, but it's foul if you call yourself a friend to somebody, you talk to them behind closed doors, and you say, oh, no, I don't fuck with that person. I don't fuck with that person. No, yeah, after what they did with you, I would never. And then you wake up one day and you put out a song with them, and then you're telling them, you calling them a bitch on Twitter. That's foul shit.
Yeah, it's an ugly situation, you feel me? Like, I know personally myself, I ain't really played none of dude music since the accusations have come out. I'm kind of waiting to see what truly happened. But this is something, not to blame Megan or anything, but this is a scenario that I learned like when I was younger. It's like, don't hold people to standards that you hold yourself to.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly it. And, you know, we watch Meg, and, you know, Meg is somebody who lost her mom, her grandmother, you know, the people close to her in a short time. And she started latching on to people in the industry that do not give a fuck about her at all. People that she assumed were her friends, and they're all gone now. And, you know, you hate to see it for Meg. Now, she's still flourishing. She's still thriving. But, you know, you hate to see, you know, somebody like that in that situation. You hate to see anybody in that situation. However, what this brings me to is, so, you know, all the blogs start following this, right? Obviously, it's a pretty big story in the zeitgeist. The first thing you see under all the comments is men calling her Marcus Thee Stallion, talking about how manly she is, talking about how she's a nigga, whatever, whatever. Obviously, there's nothing wrong with a woman being masculine and having masculine energy. However, that is not what the fuck Megan Thee Stallion is, which circles me all the way back around to my main point, in that niggas be homophobic, but niggas be gay. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, niggas really...
The math is math in there.
You feel me? And it's wild. And obviously, homophobia is one of the biggest telltale signs of being gay. But obviously, as we've spent, you know, a good chunk of this pod talking about, please, absolutely, live your life, live your truth. But if you are sitting here using homophobia to shame somebody or try to make them seem less worthy or less valuable by comparing them to a man or saying, oh, you know, I would never, I would blah, 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 blah. You know, a lot of that just comes down to the fact that you would rather be fucking a man. You feel me?
So and that self-hate is a motherfucker.
Yeah, a motherfucker. So the key theme of Pride Month is live your life, live your truth. That homophobic shit, bruh, that ain't gonna do nothing but expose you. Truly. Because if I see you under comments, you know, calling Megan Thee Stallion a dude and all these other things, then I already know what type of nigga you are. All right, so that's that. You know, wanted to get that out real quick. But you know, kind of transitioning, you feel me, off the Pride Month aesthetic. We gonna keep it moving. We gonna take it from, you know, our gender fluid kings, queens, and theys to the gender fluid god of mischief, Loki.
The bull.
Yes, sir. Loki debuted on Disney Plus a couple of weeks ago, and these niggas don't miss. And we know, we've already talked about how Marvel don't miss, but they didn't give us another banger. We are 3 episodes in. I've seen 2, haven't seen the newest one. But Wes, how you feeling about the bull Loki, or the bull-less Loki so far?
What I've learned about Disney is that about 5 years ago, they put a ton of money into period costumes, like a lot of outfits and sets from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. And they felt like they didn't want to waste any money, so they created WandaVision. And they threw all this shit in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. And they created Loki, and they threw all that shit in the fucking 80s. Disney's wasted money. Don't let them fool you. But these are fire shows. I enjoy Loki so far. I watched all 3 episodes. I watched episode 3. It came out today. I watched earlier this afternoon. It's interesting. I didn't know how I'd feel about Loki coming off the trailers we've seen, which is similar. I didn't know how I'd feel about WandaVision or Robot Arm and Nickelberg. But Loki is turning to be pretty good through the first 3 episodes. I'm not sure the total number of episodes we're getting, but I imagine we're somewhere near the halfway point.
And can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
I lost you for a good chunk of time. Like right after you said they spent all that money on 50s and 60s okay. sets and did WandaVision, it cut out.
Okay, yeah. So I was saying that they created all these period piece costumes and sets, and that's why they have to create these shows like WandaVision and Loki, so they weren't going to waste their money. But I was also saying, like, I didn't know how I feel coming into WandaVision from the trailers. I know how I feel coming into Bucky and Nickelbird. Mm-hmm. Same way I didn't know how I feel coming into Loki. But through the first 3 episodes, it's a lot better than I thought it would be. And I'm actually enjoying it and looking forward to what they have to see. We get to see kind of Loki's more kind of a low, not necessarily a tertiary character in the previous Marvel films, but he wasn't one of the main stars.
Yeah.
He would kind of dip in and dip out, do his mischief type shit. Mm-hmm. But now kind of getting a focused project about him, and we get to kind of see his kind of intricacies, what kind of drives him a little bit more.
A humbled Loki, which is something that we've never really seen before other than when Thanos snapped his neck. Humbled as fuck.
Owen Wilson put that monotone, boring-ass voice on you. You ain't got no choice but to be humble.
Shout out to Owen Wilson, man. Fucking killing this shit, bro.
Yeah, no, he's definitely doing his thing. And then wait till you see episode 3. It's a pretty good one, you know what I'm saying? We get a lot. We get to look inside of Loki and Lady Loki. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to spoil her name.
Yeah.
But we get to see a lot more of them kind of just talking and kind of learning a little bit more about Loki and her as well. Disney won't be doing anything, period.
Yeah, and I think, you know, all 3 of these shows I have ended up enjoying more than I would expect. WandaVision, I knew that it was going to be some wild shit, so I didn't even really know what to expect coming in, but I just had faith in Marvel as a whole, and it ended up giving me It ended up giving me something I didn't expect to get. I had very low expectations coming into Bucky and Nigga Burr, and actually ended up enjoying that more than WandaVision. Ended up being kind of the ultimate buddy cop show that I really, really ended up liking. And Loki raises the stakes of the MCU, and I feel like it is a very important catalyst and jumping off point for what we are going to see next. I feel like we talked a couple pods ago about what we wanted to see or what we expect to see out the MCU going forward. And one of the things that I mentioned was like these kind of interstellar, interdimensional, inner universe, like cosmic level events. We were used to seeing shit mostly taking place on Earth and around Earth, with the exception of, you know, like Thor and I guess Endgame and whatnot. But everything else is mostly about Earth for the most part. But this is kind of up in the stakes a little bit. And we are dealing with something that, you know, I think I told you before you watched the first episode that, like, it gets real BoJack Horseman real quick. And it makes you feel incredibly insignificant at times. And it makes you feel like Loki, somebody who calls himself the God of Mischief, and, you know, he wants to rule this and he wants to rule that, really makes him truly understand how all of his motivations and everything that he thought was to be, not only was it not that, but he plays such a small part in the grand scheme of things. And as a human being, especially, you know, somebody who, you know, niggas that don't have superpowers, it's very easy to feel insignificant. And to know that there's essentially infinite timelines that's constantly going on and constantly moving, it's easy to get lost in that. So, like, one of the central themes of the show is, like, how do you find yourself in a world, in a universe that is literally infinitely times bigger than you? What is your glorious purpose? How can you affect the world in a bigger and brighter way? And like in the first episode, when Owen Wilson tells him, like, yeah, you think that you, like, you born to be this conqueror, this ruler, like, nigga, you ain't shit but a catalyst for other people to become their better selves, their best selves. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's the good luck Chuck of the Marvel universe. Yes. Like, niggas, niggas beat on Loki and become, like, and find themselves. And that's fucked up. You feel me? So we looking at a version of Loki who, this is, you know, basically takes us right back to Avengers. Didn't get to go through all of the character development of Thor 2 and Ragnarok and, you know, the other, and Infinity War and all this other stuff. And he is essentially just chopped down. He's chopped the fuck down and taken down to his core and had to rediscover himself. And there's so many, I say, positive elements about this show. But there's also a lot of shit I don't understand. I'm still trying to wrap my head around the whole time travel, multiple branching dimensions. And if you eat an apple in 2016 and then, you know, go back in time to 30 seconds before that and eat the apple again, did the apple ever exist in the future? You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit, bruh, like, you lost me. I'm not even trying. But just the idea that, like, them, we watched a whole saga built around Infinity Stones, and them motherfuckers use Infinity Stones as paperweights. You know, yeah, like,
that's the part that kind of, I was like, God damn.
So, I mean, we going from a self-proclaimed god in Thanos, who Loki said, no matter how hard you try, you'll never be a god, to we talking about legit gods now.
Yeah, them timekeepers, man, they control everything, you know what I'm saying?
And I think they're the villains, bro. I really, really do. Like, I feel like, if you're listening, you probably seen the show. But the timekeepers who control the TVA, which is the organization that Loki is working for / with, to maintain the quote unquote proper flow of time. It's all decided by these all knowing, all encompassing, omnipotent timekeepers. But how do they get to decide what's supposed to be the proper flow of time? How do they decide what's supposed to be and what's not supposed to be? You know, so anybody who has that much control, they got to be villains. They got to be villains.
That's going to be interesting to see, because you'll see as we get into the third episode, you'll kind of see someone who we thought was a villain, will kind of their motivations, and we'll kind of see a little bit of their motivations, and we'll see, are they truly a villain, or are they someone trying to do what they think is right? Which is essentially every fucking superhero movie.
Yeah, that is a signature of Marvel movies, is the sympathetic villain. So if I ain't got a sympathetic villain, I low-key don't be into it.
Honestly. Listen, when you're an evil motherfucker like myself, all villains are sympathetic. But no, this is coming together well. It's shot well. Tom Hiddleston, he be doing his thing. Lady Loki, she's doing pretty good so far.
Gugu Mbatha-Raw, who plays Ravonna, is going to play a very large role going forward as well. Especially since in the comic book, she is the love interest of somebody who may end up being the big bad of this saga, Kang the Conqueror, who will be played by Jonathan Majors. And somebody who starred with Jonathan Majors on Lovecraft Country. I can't remember her name.
Journey Smollett?
No, the only other black person on the show. On Loki.
I've seen... Shorty from the TVA?
Yeah.
I don't know her name on the show or okay. her life.
Well, either way, she also part of Lovecraft Country cast. Shout out to Lovecraft Country. You know, central character on the show. Shout out, like you said, Tom Hiddleston, who's become one of the more respected white actors of this day. Continue to make big plays and
he's no Tom Hardy, but he does his thing.
Yeah, yeah. And they're both British, so, I mean, close enough.
Nigga, everybody's British.
This is true.
Everybody that's ever acted is British.
But, yeah, and interested to see, you know, where it goes. Like, really enjoy the sets of Loki, too. You know, the whole 60s aesthetic. Because the creator of the show is a big Mad Men fan. So, definitely a real one. You feel me?
Man, if Don Draper pops out the TVA, I'm going to lose my shit.
It hit him with that Don Draper, that what? that was a nigga response to everything, bro. Like, it was just, what? Oh,
yeah. That's just the response you say when you're trying to hide your identity and you're crippling depression and drinking problems.
Dickie DeWitt. So, Loki, we will continue to see how that plays out and what you know, it, I guess, next level implications it ends up having on the Marvel Universe as a whole. Because anytime, again, you're dealing with time travel, there's no way that it doesn't end up having some major implications on the entire universe, especially at the end of episode 2, where Lady Loki goes back and sets off the time bombs in all of these different important locations in the MCU to create all these different branching timelines. There's no way that we're not going to end up with something crazy, which I think is probably going to be a multiversal war, I'm guessing.
I am confusion. but not Marvel, like we said, Marvel does their thing on everything they do for the most part. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of where they take this. But real quickly before we get into everything else, I just want to shout out a couple other TV shows that I fuck with. Lupin came back for this part 2.
I heard Lupin's a banger. I never watched it.
Lupin's fire. It's a French television program.
I'm about to watch Rudy Gobert on Degrassi. Cool. Oh, I'm out of here.
Oh, but no, nah, it's about a guy, a black guy who kind of he be scamming a little bit. You know what I'm saying? It's it's a good watch. It's a nice quick watch. You know what I'm saying? I think it's 10 episodes in total. They just came out with part 2 earlier this last week. But then one thing I did want to touch on is High on the Hog. Have you seen that?
Nah, I ain't even heard of it.
All right, so High on the Hog is this food blogger, it's about how kind of African cuisine, or how kind of how African American cuisine kind of shaped the culture of America.
We was cooking for the slave masters. How could it not?
So it's real quick, another quick watch. I think it's 4 episodes. So a food blogger.
I love kinda, some cooking shows.
I love me goddamn cooking shows.
Do we have any new nature documentaries to look out for?
No new nature docs, but High on the Hog is dope as shit, dog. I'm telling you, it's gonna open your eyes a lot. Make you feel some things.
I'm with it.
So I definitely recommend Lupin and High on the Hog to anybody who needs something new to watch.
Well, thank you, Mr. TV Man.
TV Man.
But as we're gonna move on, you know, we have one thing the Marvel Universe is gonna give you is they're gonna give you some prominent light skins. You know what I'm saying? They're gonna give you some Tessa Thompsons. They're gonna give you some Zoe Saldana's. They're gonna give you Gugu Mbatha-Raw. They're gonna make sure that they throw all that semi melanin in your face, which means that we gotta throw one of our longest running segments back in your face as well, and that is our appreciation of our waffle colored compadres. It is the return of the light skin power rankings. Wesley, my boy, I'm gonna let you lead off.
Are we going back and forth, or are we doing
come on, man. You know what? No, it's Pride Month. Yes, we'll go back and forth.
Hey, you know what I'm saying? Thank you for being inclusive, brother. You know what I'm saying? Number five. This is, might be a little shocking to people, but my number five on light skin power rankings is Ben Simmons.
What?
We just spoke about how
explain yourself.
Gladly. We just spoke about how the Sixers flamed out in the playoffs, blew the number one seed, and one of the most devious culprits in that act was Ben Simmons. He
stopped shooting. Oh, my goodness.
Was terrible from the free throw line. After having a pretty good season, was all-star, yeah. Was second in defensive player of the year voting. But the reason why Ben Simmons is number five on my light skin power rankings is because no matter how many tweets are tweeted about him, mm-hmm. or how many people saying he's going to be a Shanghai Shark next year.
Which is wild. Disrespectful. That's what I'm saying. Like, nigga is still an all-star. Like, stop it.
Yeah. NBA Twitter is in shambles. But the reason why he's still on my list is because by the time he turns, right now, you and I are both 29 years old, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So by the time Ben Simmons turns 29, he's going to have accrued more than $200 million in just NBA salary.
That's a win.
So no matter what you say about Ben, that nigga's got enough bread to buy you and your family's life.
He does.
He could literally have you and your family murdered and pay someone to just murder every offspring of your name as they come forth. So that nigga's gonna be rich. Yeah. That nigga's great, 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 great grandkids is gonna be rich as fuck. So no matter what you say about the nigga, he's racked up, and I can't argue with that.
To quote a similarly emotional nigga, bitch, I got my shit together. Rose told me keep on working. Shawty, you'll be rich forever. So.
Amen. Ben Simmons, number five on my light skin power rankings.
Okay. That's, you know, I thought that was a little wild at first, considering that he has, I'm just honestly being ridiculed worse than Playoff P did last year. But, you know, I see the vision. I got a quick honorable mention, which is going to go to Ludacris. Luda's a highly successful Discovery Plus Food Network show, Luda Can't Cook, is coming back with new episodes. There was only one episode originally, but it was incredible and critically acclaimed. So he's coming back with new episodes of that, where it's just literally Ludacris learning how to cook, and it's enthralling television.
I blow her then, up. Balloons.
And of course, this weekend, the family saga continues with Fast 9 coming out in theaters, which Luda is making his sixth appearance in the Fast and Furious franchise.
I don't know why you're asking me, nigga. I ain't seen none of the movies.
You ain't seen none of these?
None of them.
You ain't seen a single Fast and Furious movie?
I don't give a fuck about no niggas riding no cars, nigga.
All right, nigga.
They selling drugs?
There's a little drug selling. There's some drug selling.
It's not in one of them. It's not a major plot point.
Okay. Well, either way.
Niggas got superpowers?
Luda's back in action, and therefore is going to be my honorable mention. My number five is actually going to go to Drake.
A little low, but
he still made the list. And the reason he is number five is because Savannah is tired of that nigga sleeping on her floor, and we're still waiting on Certified Lover Boy. But he will make the list because he is trying to be a father to his child. So I will give him credit for that, even though he conveniently seems to always do some extra fathering on camera. I don't know, it seems a little performative to me, but, you know, it's something.
He was on camera all the goddamn time, so I imagine he could have done something. My number four in light skin power rankings is Ime Udoka.
Ah!
Mine is a little basketball heavy in my light skin power rankings because ain't shit else going on. But Ime Udoka, former NBA.
He ain't really got nothing to do with the Celtics, do it. Let's talk about the real reason why he's on the list.
Yeah, yes. Well, I have to mention he was hired as the head coach of the Celtics. But maybe he's on the list because I learned today that he is with Nia Long.
Nia Long.
And
After
Kanye dropped the bag in 03 or whatever, or 04, whenever that shit came out.
Oh, you want the titties. What about the ass?
Yeah, so salute to Ime Udoka for getting Nia Long and an NBA head coaching job after years of being assistant. Good for you, brother. That's it. That's all
I mean. Yeah, man. He definitely deserves some love for that. My number four, a lot of this is basketball themed. Number four is the icy girl herself, Saweetie. You said what?
I didn't say who sampled did you steal now. That was somebody in the comments.
She Quavo repossessed her Bentley. However, she has been flourishing since the breakup, and flourishing so much so that James Harden paid her $100,000 cash after $100,000 just to go on a date with him. And honestly, I don't even know if she went.
James Harden denied this on Instagram. I don't say that you're following.
And you believe what James Harden says?
Absolutely. James Harden has no reason to cap whatsoever.
Okay.
James Harden is big crippin'. I don't think James Harden's ever told a lie in his life, to be honest.
Okay. But I am going to err on the side of him being a thirsty nigga.
Err on the side of 50 Cent? That's who you're going to err on the side of? Because that's who broke the news.
It wasn't. It actually saw it before Curtis said it. So, and if that's even partially true, then Sweetie's living very well. And she's number four.
Yes. Salute. This is not a slight to Sweetie, but salute to her. But James, I know James better than that.
I know James Harden.
So if I don't know anything, I know James Harden. But no, my number three is Drake. He fell down from my number one spot. But salute to Drake. As you guys know, I'm a huge battle rap fan. My life revolves around basketball and battle rap and tweets and pornography. So URL had a tournament these last few weeks in which they had a bracket of 8 battle rappers. No, 16 battle rappers. 8 or 16. I can't remember the full number. But anyway, they had a tournament, and if you won, you'd advance the next week, and the winner of the tournament got $100,000. So Drake was instrumental in getting the URL battle rap platform onto a streaming app, the Caffeine app. And he showed up to the finals and added another $50,000 to the winning pot, which eventually got split between two rappers. Shout out to each guy.
Was Chilla Jones a part of this?
Not the tournament, but he was on the card.
How about Hollow to Don?
No, sir.
Iron Solomon?
No, sir. But I am glad that you're tapping.
Sirius Jones?
Was part of a card a couple months ago, actually.
Okay, Matt Hoffa.
Was part of a card a couple months ago.
God, come on, damn it!
You're tapped in. You are right on point.
But no, I had a brief battle rap phase when I lived with JR. It's kind of forced upon you.
So. Oh yeah, and I say me and JR have had many a conversation about niggas rapping at each other. But not salute Drake for just always supporting battle rap and actually going up to the event. Yeah, so he's number three of my battle rap power rankings. CLB coming soon.
Allegedly. My number three is going to go to Trae Young. He would potentially be higher, but his hair is thinning really badly. So
it's not great.
Yeah, so however, Trae Young has this playoffs has instantly changed his perception from being again a stat padder to being someone who can lead a team and lead a young team deep in the playoffs. He has come up with some of the most ballsy onions performances that we've seen in recent playoff memory, and he did it again tonight, pulling out a win in Milwaukee for the Hawks to take a 1-0 lead in the Eastern Conference Finals. The fact that the Hawks are in the Eastern Conference Finals is crazy enough, and the fact that Trae Young is doing this on a huge stage against all types of defenders, against, you know, seeing what he did to Ben Simmons, you know, in the last couple games of last series, and continuing it this time, definitely worthy of number three.
For sure, for sure. My number two is also a basketball player. It's Devin Booker. Devin Booker, in a similar vein to Trae Young, is leading his team to places they haven't been in many, many years. I'm saying he's balling. His team is in the Western Conference Finals. He's doing his thing, leading them in scoring, looking to kind of evolve into the true superstar that he was destined to be. And he also recently accepted an invite to play for Team USA. So yep. He's got a gold medal coming, potentially a championship coming, and he's got Kendall Jenner coming.
Yeah, I'm going to say the trifecta. It'll be a hell of a summer.
That's looking, yeah.
Shout out to that French Montana make it clap freestyle, bruh. That was damn near hot nigga freestyle levels.
Nah, that shit
was up there.
I need the official MP3 on my phone as ASAP as possible.
That was a big one. My number two was also Devin Booker, so no need to reiterate the same shit. But also shout out to Kendall Jenner for constantly trading up and getting rid of these light-skinned niggas at the perfect time and trading them in for a new whip right before they elevate to the next step. So.
It's uncanny the way she maneuvers. Salute to her. My number one is, it's a collective. It's not just one person.
Okay.
That is the Team Jordan WNBA women's roster. So recently, Team Jordan announced that their WNBA women's roster is the largest one they've had yet. It included such light-skinned goddesses as Ariel Powers, who recently won a championship 2019 with my Mystics. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? Mystics turn up. One of my bays, De'Erica Hamby.
Some De'Erica Hamby.
I do love some De'Erica Hamby. And then Satu Zabala was one of the, she's a second-year player for the Wings. She's doing her thing, too. So it's nice that Team Jordan has always been involved in women's basketball. Team Jordan is a big proponent of women's basketball, but to see them announced out of their largest roster to date shows they're more invested now in women's basketball, and hopefully they keep bringing this investment to the WNBA, especially as my Mystics get on this roll. You know what I'm saying? We won three in a row, or three of our last four. You know what I'm saying? Waiting for my girl EWD to get back and win this championship. You feel me?
Yeah.
That's my number one. Salute to the women of Team Jordan.
Yeah, no, shout out to them. If we were still problematic, you would be using your old catchphrase, but you know, I guess we don't get that anymore.
What's my old catchphrase? Something about these hoes.
Yeah, shout out to these hoes.
Shout out to these hoes, man. Shout out to these hoes, man. Just because you a hoe, that's not problematic anymore. If you go hoe, live your whole truth. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to the hoes.
But my number one is going to be another honorary light skin. My number one is the head of the table, the tribal chief, Roman Reigns. He's basically light skin.
Light skin.
Roman Reigns is the best wrestler in the world. Can't believe I'm saying that. He is holding WWE on his back right now, literally, and he is the most important person in all of this shit. That nigga is putting in, like, The Rock, John Cena levels of work, holding down the WWE right now. Because of that, he is number one on my light skin power rankings.
Can't go wrong. That reminds me to cancel my subscription. I ain't watched the network in a while. I'm gonna cancel it then miss it.
And no,
then...
it's on Peacock now.
That's right. It is. It's with the cock.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to my new number one in my power rankings, Bailey. Since we're just throwing anybody in the fucking number one power rankings.
Hey, the nappy yam queen, Bailey. She been letting her naps rock lately. So maybe she is coming for that top spot next pod. Who knows? But thank you for listening to our Light Skin Power Rankings. If you have any more suggestions for who should be a part of Light Skin Power Rankings, tap in Twitter and Instagram at Beware the Ills and give us your suggestions. But that brings us, as we start to slowly wrap it up, Our top five of the week is centered around all of the new music that we have been getting specifically over this last month. We did the same thing last year. Actually, I think the year before too. But the first half of 2021 has been, music has kind of come in spurts. We'll get like 3-4 projects in 2 weeks and then like not get shit for like a month and a half. But there has been a lot of quality music that has dropped this year, and we want to make sure that we highlight it. So our top five of the week is top musical projects of 2021.
For sure. I got my five. I got a bunch of honorable mentions too. How you looking?
Yeah, I got a few of them things. Yeah, you can go with your honorable mentions first, and then all I'll right. come on.
I hope I don't step on any toes. You know what I'm saying?
You probably will. Mention,
yeah. Well, fuck you. So I don't mention kind of projects I like this year. Collection Agency, Currency the Spitter. He's dropped a couple things this year. It's probably my favorite one so far. I got a shout out Scary Hours 2. It's got the NBA playoff theme song.
Yes. Which I just full disclosure, Scary Hours 2 is actually my number 5. And that is it's incredible because it's only 3 songs, but those 3 songs are all incredible and have dominated the summer. So, again, as much as I hate Drake, sometimes you got to give him his credit. So, shout out to Scary Hours, too.
Also had Dumb and Dumber 2, Dolph Key Glock. Mm-hmm. Tremendous follow-up on their first Dumb and Dumber. The offseason, J. Cole. You know what I'm saying? We are not really a Cole podcast or Cole fans, but it's a good ass album. I did enjoy it on my one listen through. recent project, shout out to Voice of the Heroes, Dirk Baby. Again, another project we say that out all the time. Just cut the motherfucker short. You know, say give me like 10, 12 songs, and it would be even better. Nudie dropped Dr. Evil. I'm a big Nudie fan.
Big nude guy.
Yeah, big naked man. He's coming back too with Rich Shooter. Culture 3 didn't make my top 5, but it's in my honorable mentions.
I got a few words on Culture 3.
Okay, we'll save that for later then. Hotels, Jasmine Sullivan.
Yes, absolutely. Shout out to the resurgence of Jasmine Sullivan.
I still did a goddamn thing. Be Right Back, Georgia Smith. She just dropped that recently. I enjoyed that a lot. And then my last honorable mention is Built for Whatever by T-Grizzly. T-Grizzly... He's another one that puts out long projects, but he's got a consistent body of work.
Very consistent.
Doesn't have necessarily all the hits, but he's got consistent body of work.
Yeah. Got to respect it. A lot of similarities there. Voice of the Heroes, also a part of mine. Big honorable mention for me. The Biebs man, Justin Bieber Justice.
I see you like your MLK quotes.
The Orange Print from the one and only Good Job Larry, Larry June. I gotta show some love to him as well. Gotta show some love to the Beam Me Up Scotty re-release. Even though Nicki put a lot of old shit on there, it is nice to have like some of those old songs that people have been rocking to for a while actually on streaming services. And you know, gotta give her credit there. As well, also something that I have not listened to enough to put it on my list, but I know that it is right there. Her Back of My Mind, her's first official album, which is incredible because she has multiple Grammys and this is her first real album.
Skipped over that in my honorable mentions, but that was there too.
Yeah. So like her and her trajectory over the last few years, I remember one of our first pods that we did, we kind of talked about the new era of female R&B kind of setting in, you know, with the Kali Uchises and SZA and Kalani, even though Kalani's been around for a while, you know, kind of her kind of making a new wave and Summer Walker and Georgia Smith and Alina Baraz and all these different people. You said what?
Snow Allegra,
yes. And kind of talking about who we thought may be end up emerging from that class to be the new it. Her is it. She's the one that has the, I think, that kind of transcendent aura around her. And no pun intended. And is completely in control of her sound and of her style, which is not completely traditional R&B. you know, it's got some pop elements, you know, got some electronic elements at sometimes. And when you are a master of your craft like that, that is going to, it's going to exude from your music. And she is completely in her element, completely in her bag. And she makes some great, 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 great music. Got to spend more time with the album, but she is at the head of the class for this generation of R&B.
Easily. And to be head of the class, it's a heavy class too. It's not a bunch of bullshit names. These are some legitimate heavy names that are putting out great projects. And for her to kind of be leading that charge speaks a lot to her talent and her ability to make good music.
Yes, sir. And last honorable mention, Cordae, Justin Till. He's got an album coming as well, but had a little 4-song EP a couple months ago, and he's just that young bull is consistent. I still think his song making can improve quite a bit, but again, kind of being in his bag lyrically and thematically and everything, he's far ahead of, I would say, 98% of the game. So gotta show him some love too.
Absolutely not. Cordae is big fire. Definitely the hardest out of the former YMB crew. So my five. I'll just run through my five.
Oh, wait. Since I already kind of talked about Scary Hours, maybe I'll just run through my shit first.
By all means.
So number five, Scary Hours 2, 3 songs, top 5 project of the year, easy, Waiting on Certified Lover Boy. Number 4, you know I can't do no type of top 5 without letting niggas know that The Butcher is coming, nigger. The Plugs I Met 2 is my number 4, from the one and the only Benny the Butcher. Again, Griselda niggas are, it's, you know, the closest thing that, the closest feeling you get to Dipset in the 2000s. Not from a swagginess perspective, but just from a, like, when them niggas get on the track, you know you about to get it. You feel me? And Plugs I Met 2 has been in heavy rotation for me since it came out in March. Benny gone Benny.
Absolutely. He's in my top 5 as well.
So that's my number 4. My number three is The Off Season. J. Cole, you know, yeah, we're not a Cole heavy pod. You know, we talked about a million times how I was a big Cole fan, kind of fell for me, kind of eased off of him for a while. But this J. Cole sounded like a motivated J. Cole in a way that I feel like we haven't heard in a long time. And as he makes his run up to, his final album, The Fall Off, sometime in the next couple years, I feel like this is the lane that we want to see him in. The Off Season definitely did what it needed to do to kind of not maybe solidify him as, I don't think it solidifies him as the best rapper alive or nothing, but it does. It brings back that energy and that spark that may have been lost on some older Cole fans like ourselves. Number 2, Gangsta's Paint, Moneybagg Yo. And his rise has been nothing short of meteoric. I don't think anybody has had a more beneficial, a more fruitful pandemic as an artist than Moneybagg Yo has. And he has taken himself from a nigga that we like to being right now the hottest nigga out of Memphis and honestly one of the hottest niggas in the game. Waukesha is one of the biggest songs in the streets right now. And he's slowing down whatsoever, hitting jumpers on Chris Brown and shit. And then my number one, I think there's only one number one. I assume that we have the same one. So
I can guarantee we don't.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. Well, you know what? You go ahead and run through your list.
I forgot about Moneybagg's project, but I didn't like it as much as I liked his previous shit, but it's still tremendously fire. Number 5, this might be your number one. Is it Slime Language 2?
No.
Okay. Slime Witch 2 is my number 5. The collection
it had songs. It
had some good songs.
The too many. I don't want to hear Jerrica Carlay music.
Makes
There's a lot of her.
There's one of us on this podcast who doesn't like Jerrica. Or Coily Ray. Yeah. Call her Big Purr. Number 4, surprising project. I didn't expect it to be on here, but my number 4 is Shelly FKA Drom. From Drom. Yeah, the broccoli nigga. put out a little kind of R&B type vibe project.
I'm glad that Drum's still hanging around after what Drake tried to do to him.
After the unfortunate situation that he happened to put himself in. that project is big fire. Erykah Badu was on there. Summer Walker's on there. He did his fucking thing, just singing shit. And I'm a singing ass nigga.
Good for him, man.
So, salute to Drum. Number three. Plugs I Met Too, Benny shit. Benny's continuing to elevate, and this project was more so us. It was him and Al locking in, and like we spoke on our producer podcast, we love when artists kind of lock in with one producer to get a more cohesive sound. And this sound was like more of an updated sound and the kind of boom bap Derringer sound that they even fucking came to prominence on.
Beep boo boo bop. That boo 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 beep.
Exactly. The Chum Bucket Karen beats that they had. Number two, I don't know if this is your number one either. Shiesty Season, Pooh Shiesty.
Yes, that is my number one.
Okay, yes, okay, we don't say number one then. So yeah. Shiesty Season, Pooh Shiesty, you know what I'm saying? Pooh kind of came on the scene.
A point guard.
Heavy.
Of So Icy Entertainment. It's amazing.
Yeah, he came out on the So Icy 1017 compilation, and ever since that first compilation dropped, that man has been in his fucking bag.
Nigga damn near caught a body and got it cleared up real quick.
Yeah, I'm not going to speak on that. Because you know how he gets down. Yes. But yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm still waiting to be on my back in EXO screaming out Back in Blood.
Oh, my God. We'll see what happens with that.
And then go get some street meat. Heavy Pride Month. And then my number one, surprising for the listeners, but if you know me, you know that's going to be my goddamn number one. Number one project of the first half of 2021 is Freedom Boys by 42 Doug.
Yeah.
42 Doug. See, listen, this is wild. See, listen, 2018, yeah. I had my project of the year, the first half of the year, was a Lil Baby project before everybody was fucking rocking with Baby like he is. And now Baby's the biggest artist in the world.
That's so true.
Listen, get hip to 42 Doug, Freedom Boys.
Doug a bad boy, man.
Doug is tremendously hard. Once you hear that whistle, you know, yep. Doug is here to fucking rap. You know what I'm saying? This nigga is a very, 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 very diminutive individual. Yes. He got he fell off a little bit in the past year because his baby mama called him Big Booty Doug because he's built a little funny.
That's funny.
But when this nigga gets in that booth and starts rapping, that nigga's hard as shit. I would definitely advise you to go ahead and listen to some 42 Doug.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Doug. Doug is one of, because again, there's a lot of young niggas, the vast majority of the niggas that I don't connect with. I'm not young enough to get, like Polo G. You can keep him. I just, you know, that's not my lane. He outsold the Migos, but like, it's just not, I don't get it. And I'm realizing that I'm too old to get it. And I understand that. But out of some of these young niggas, again, Pooh and Doug, both part of the XXL freshman list are two that I am firmly behind. Vote Pooh and Doug 2024.
Speaking of 2024, one of my neighbors has got already has a Trump 2024 flag hanging on their garage.
Niggas love losing.
I'm telling you.
They love being fucking losers.
I am telling you.
Yeah. you know, I feel like very, very strong, comprehensive list. And, you know, I feel like the first half of the year is light compared to what we may get in the back half of the year. You know, with CLB, you know, still Kendrick album, you know, potentially in the works. And just a lot of other big projects that are on the horizon. Yeah, but go out and listen to our list because our lists are good and we know music better than you. So y'all should not just take our opinion into consideration, but also take it as fact.
I'm saying that's so, essentially just live by it, you know what I'm saying? Abide by it in all shapes and forms.
Yes, sir.
And fashions.
But that brings us to the end of the show and our Ellie's of the week. Wes, you got one?
Oh, boy. I definitely... focused on too much research this week, and I don't have an L. Let me see if I can freestyle one quick. My L of the week goes to the Milwaukee Bucks. You can't lose a home game, the first game of the series, at the crib to Trae Young, who's built like a middle schooler. Yes. A bunch of Eastern European whites. Actually, I can't even say that because Danilo, the rooster, is from Italy.
Yes.
And Kayvon Herter, light skinned brother. He should be on Light Skin Power Rankings, to be honest. Yeah, Bucks, wow. Get your shit together. You guys have the easiest matchup to get to the finals. Figuring this shit out.
Yes, yes, indeed. My L of the week goes to the only person who is really deserving this week. A nigga who clearly don't know nah, and that's Trick Daddy. I don't know what the fuck that nigga was thinking he decided to wake up and try to eviscerate Beyonce and Hov, both of them. I don't know what happened between them, but clearly it seems like there was some type of beef or issue or falling out, because I've never seen anybody wake up randomly and spew such vitriol at the first couple of music ever in my life.
It appears that he woke up and chose violence.
And for him to start it on Beyonce by saying she can't sing, that she doesn't do anything for the people. She doesn't inspire the people. And she doesn't give back to the black community, which are false, 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 and false. It couldn't be any more wrong. Just loud and wrong. Started with that and then switched over to Hov by saying Hov has never been the best rapper alive and New York don't love him like that. Nigga, what would you know about New York? Trick. Somebody who's never been a top three rapper in Miami at any point in his life? Stop it. I ain't trying to hear that shit. And it really came off to me. It's one of our central themes of the show. He came off as an old corny nigga. And once you reach a certain point in a rap game, it don't matter what your accolades are, you just get inherently corny. And yeah. I think more niggas need to take heed of that, because Trick Daddy is done. I'm talking about Beehive on his ass, flooded his restaurant with negative reviews. That shit was down to like a 1.8 the last time I checked. He's fucked, and he deserves to be, because that was, you don't get to say whatever you want about people and not expect, especially beloved people, and not expect any type of backlash. I said what I said is not, no matter how many times you hear that shit on social media, I said what I said does not help at all, especially, in any situation.
Especially when you're just wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It'd be a different thing if he was making valid points, but you just wrong, Trick Daddy.
Yep.
I'm sorry to say this. I hope you're dealing well with your lupus, but if that don't get you out of here, the Beehive and the I don't know what Jay's
I don't know, the
Hovey Babies.
The Hovites?
Happy dreads.
The Hovey Babies. So yeah, man, I'm sorry. That's just a poor business decision. Especially coming off, you know, Trina doing him a favor and bringing him on the verses. Shout out to Trina and Eve for giving us another lovely verses. Both bringing supreme queenly energy. And yeah, you know, so you kind of caught at capitalizing off of that buzz by going on Clubhouse. Who uses Clubhouse anymore? You feel me? And disrespecting, you know, the king and queen is, that's just a poor move, bro. And you got to catch that ill this week.
Hate to see it. Slip and slide your ass out of here, nigga.
Slip and slide your ass out of here, which is exactly what the fuck we about to do, because it is late. It's about midnight. Niggas got shit to do. We have trips to plan, you feel me? We have bottles to drink, you know, we have responsibilities to ignore.
You know what I'm saying? I got some Excedrin to take, you've got some fentanyl to blow, you know what I'm saying?
Hey man, listen. I've never had fentanyl or anything stronger than weed in my life.
My fellow Americans.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Yeah, exactly. Fuck you, nigga.
Yeah, salute to 42 Doug again. As he says, free woo. He doesn't know whether to call him free woo or Mr. Fentanyl. yes, don't be yelling out Mr. Don't be calling me Mr. Fentanyl, a song where you're asking to free me. That seems extremely counterproductive.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. So, well, hope you niggas and niggets and nigthems. I was about to say that. Enjoyed this episode. You know, we love y'all. Glad to be here. Glad to continue having these convos with y'all on a, I don't know, a tri-weekly basis or whatever. Keep rocking with us. We're going to keep rocking with y'all. Ain't nothing going to change. Beware the Ills at Uptown Ace Boogie, at Ain't That Wiz, at Beware the Ills on all your fine social media platforms. You can find this podcast anywhere. Tell your mama, tell your daddy, tell your uncle. It's not really your uncle. It is really a nigga that your mama been messing with since you was 5. Tell everybody.
Yeah, I'm saying keep fucking with us. Like you said, we're going to rock with y'all. Keep giving y'all this fire ass content whenever we feel like it. It's yes, free, sir. So enjoy it when it comes out. You know what I'm saying? Or else, nigga.
Yes, sir. Or else. And that's it. Signing off for the Wayne Wonder Twins. Shit, about to take the shape of, you know what? Pair of Nike slides.
Yeah, all right. And I'm Wayne Wonder. Wayne Wonder Twins take the shape of a silk bonnet. That's what I'm going to need in a little bit. Throw my damn bonnet.
Silk bonnet.
I'm going goddamn.
Yes, sir.
We out.
Y'all be blessed now. Go be great in your lavender.
Mm-hmm. Your lavender. All right. We out.